On. All right, there I go. All right. I always get nervous about turning the mic on too early, so I turn it on too late sometimes, but that's okay. Kind of a thing. Hey, I'm going to show you a picture of a logo on the screen, and I'm going to see if this means anything to anyone in the building today. All right, or if you're watching online, maybe you know, you can say it out loud up in Building B, but check this out. We got it? All right. Anybody seen that logo before? All right, yes. Semper Fi, short for Semper Fidelis. Does anybody know what that means? Y'all know that. Awesome. Good deal. Good deal. This is the logo of the United States Marine Corps. Do we have any Marines in the room today? All right. Yes. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. I so appreciate our Marine Corps. In fact, all of you who have served and are serving in our military to defend our freedom, thank you for all that you've done, for your sacrifice, for your commitment, for what you mean to us and to our country. We appreciate you and all your brothers and sisters who take up and live by this. Now, the Marine Corps is kind of special in that this motto has been used by them since 1883, Semper Fi. It means always faithful, always faithful. Now, I am proud because I happen to be the son-in-law of a 26-year Marine veteran, my father-in-law, Ernest. Let me show you a picture of him. Yeah, always faithful. And I've had the privilege of doing life around him ever since I've met his beautiful daughter, Lisa. And I have seen this, not just the dignity and all that comes with being a Marine, but I've also seen him live this theme, this motto of always faithful in his marriage of 55 years, of being committed to his family, committed to his friends, always faithful to those around him. And I am so proud of my father-in-law, Ernest, and what he's done, because I know that, like many of our servicemen, he knows what it's all about to put his life on the line and serve in places like Vietnam. And he knew when he signed up for the Marine Corps that his life was changing at that moment, that he was going in one direction, and now he was going in another direction. In fact, if you've served in the military, you know what that means to say, yes, I'm in. All right, and you get on that. In fact, we've got some parents that are here today. They've just in the last couple weeks after graduation have put their kids on the bus and said goodbye to them as they go to boot camp, knowing that they have made a decision that's going to affect the rest of their life, a decision to be always faithful to the call. And that is no small thing at all. Always faithful. You know, that word faith, we kind of throw it around a lot. I mean, we use the word faith a lot, but it really is an important word to us. In fact, I would propose to you that faith is what makes the world go round. You know, I mean, think about it. This morning you got up and most of you decided to go outside and start your car and get in your car. Was your car faithful? Hopefully. All right. Now, that's awesome. Some of us don't have faithful cars, and it's always a little sketchy, you know, but we depend on that. So you had faith in your vehicle, and then you got on 19 or 50 or whatever, however you get here, and you had to have faith, yeah, in everybody else on the road, which in Hernando County is also pretty sketchy, you know, sometimes. But faith is what got you here today. And we go through these kind of things all week long. Faith really does matter. It's an important word. It's an important concept. This idea of Semper Fi, of being always faithful. And it's not just an important word to us in everyday life. It's an important word to us when it comes to our walk with Christ. All right, that's why it's our Core 52 topic this week. We're in chapter 28. Hopefully you've been following along with us, reading through the book, studying, growing with us, watching the videos, getting on Facebook and seeing the connection that we have here. Just tons of activities and things that will help you grow and walk with Jesus. And this week is no exception. We get into this whole idea of faith and understanding that, and by the way, it's interesting. I didn't think I was going to say this, but it just kind of hit me this morning that when I was a senior in high school, I was a brand new Christian, all right? I'm 17 years old. I don't know much about Jesus or Christianity or all that, but I am fired up about Jesus, okay? So I've got English class, and we're supposed to write a semester term paper, all right? And I choose as my topic for my term paper, Christianity. Yeah, just a small little topic, right? I had no idea what I was getting into, and I failed. But anyway, I learned a lot, didn't write anything. But that's kind of like how this week started out. I'm like, oh, faith. Man, that's awesome. I could talk about faith. We know about. But then it's like, whoa, there's a lot here. You know, like the Bible has a lot to say about it. Where do we start? Well, what I love about it is that we're starting this sermon series called Remarkable. Remarkable. And faith really is where Mark starts in his book. Why are we calling this Remarkable again? Everybody remember? Huh? We're calling this series Remarkable because we're going through the book of Mark. Good. Awesome. Yes. And last week, you know, we kind of jumped into Mark's announcement of the good news. And today we're creeping into verse 15, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And we talk about what it means to live a remarkable faith. Now, last week, with verse 1, Mark, again, made this announcement about the remarkable gospel, the good news. And since those verses, we've seen Jesus in Mark chapter 1 be baptized by John the Baptist. We've seen him go into the desert and be tempted by the devil and win. And now, verse 15, Jesus is beginning his public ministry in Galilee, and he begins his ministry with these words. These words that are our memory verse for this week. Mark 1, chapter 15. Let's go ahead and say these words together. The time has come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Right, let's say it again. The time has come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, repent and believe the good news. Awesome. Now, faith, believe. Same word in the Greek. We'll talk about that, but that's what Jesus is saying. What does it mean to repent? What does it mean to believe? What Jesus is doing in this very verse is saying that there is a new kingdom at hand. Something's about to happen. We're just like if Semper Fi, and your life is going to change when you start to repent and turn from your old life and begin to follow Jesus, to repent and be faithful to, always faithful to, the gospel of Jesus, which we learned last week is the what? Good news, right? The good news of Jesus, the good news that is Jesus, and the good news that happens through Jesus. So faith, what does that mean? What is that word? Like, what is faith? I mean, if I ask you today, all right, faith, what word would you say back to me? What do you think of when you hear that word faith? Yep, belief. Yep, trust. Yeah, we kind of have these ideas of what faith is all about. Do you have faith in people in your life? Maybe a roommate or somebody you work with. You depend on them. You have faith in them. Maybe if you have a husband or a wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, maybe you're a kid. You have faith in your parents, and parents have faith in your kids. Okay, I mean, you know, faith, it's an important thing. But what does it mean? Like, what is it? What is it? Well, by common definition, faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust, confidence in someone or something. Now, biblically, in the Bible, belief and faith, so when Jesus says believe in the good news, belief and faith are the same word. In fact, the Greek word translated faith or belief in its various forms is used hundreds of times in the Bible, from the beginning to the end. And Mark alone uses the word over 20 times. He records that word believe or faith, and especially when he's quoting Jesus Christ himself. Now, the Greek word for faith or belief, like the one Jesus used in Mark 1:15, means to trust in, to believe in, to entrust to, faithfulness, to be faithful to. You might think of the word loyalty, or in the case of the Marine Corps, semper fidelis, that word fidelity, always faithful. Now, to get a definition of what biblical faith is all about, there's no better place to look than in the New Testament book of Hebrews, all right? So if you have your Bibles, you can flip open to the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, you can go ahead and open up and take a look there. This is a very famous chapter that's actually called by some the faith chapter. in the New Testament. In fact, it contains the stories of Old Testament characters known as the Hall of Faith. Really cool. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just going to look at one or two verses, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, listen to what God says. Here's the definition of what faith is. Faith is confidence. Or in some translations, that word substance is there. It's like this, yes, like confidence in what we hope for and assurance. Again, some translations have evidence. Assurance of what we did not see. So faith, something like there, like tangible that we have, but it's in something that's intangible, that we can't see. You see, biblical faith, or this belief, is to be confident, to commit to experience, develop, and be sure of something that we hope is true, but we're unable to literally see that it's true. Like God, right? I mean, have any of us actually seen God? No, but we hope. We have assurance. We have confidence. You see, faithfulness is important to God. If you look down just a couple verses, and this whole idea is really, it's interesting because we talk about loyalty or fidelity. It's loyalty without absolute certainty, like absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt certainty. That's what faith is. So Hebrews 11, a couple verses later, verse 6, if you look on down, look what God says in this verse. It says, this is what faith is, okay? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Ooh. That sink in for a second, all right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe. Believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You want to know what faith is. Faith is essential if we are to know God and please God with our lives. This verse, Hebrews 11, 6, summarizes the entire biblical narrative, from Genesis to Revelation, everything in between, that faithfulness, the faithfulness of his people is important. It's important to God, and it is essential if we are to know him, to please him, to follow Jesus. So what? That's what faith is. Vital, important, essential. But what does all that mean? Like, what does it mean, like, to us in everyday life? Let's go back to Mark 1:15. Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. What's that mean? What Jesus means is that we're changing our allegiance, pledging our allegiance to the good news of Jesus. That's what repentance is. Again, you signing up, you know what you're doing, you know what you're getting into. In fact, I would dare say that no one's ever joined the military. In fact, that without knowing at least some idea what they're getting into when they join. I know there's no way to know exactly what you're getting into, and I've heard some stories, but man, this is it. From here on out, my life doesn't even belong to me anymore. And what Jesus is saying here is that we are pledging our allegiance to the good news of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because this is why Jesus came to earth in the first place. And Mark is beginning to show exactly what Jesus means as the good news. That the good news has come, and that the good news is now, and that the good news is for eternity. What faith doesn't mean is that we only intellectually believe in the facts that Jesus is true. Like, we do believe, I mean, we have a lot of good reasons to believe intellectually that Jesus lived and died and rose again, right? I mean, there's obviously a lot there to hold, but believing in Jesus means more than that. Believing in Jesus means to follow him faithfully, semper fi, always faithful. It's the difference between knowing the facts. Like, okay, let me just be honest, all right? I know that I need to eat better and exercise regularly. Okay, I believe that. Anybody else believe that? All right, but always faithful to that? All right, to be honest, no. Like, I believe it, but I'm not faithful to what I believe. I got to thinking about this last night before I went to bed. You ever been to amusement park or in Orlando on International Drive? They've got these giant attractions you can get on. You pay like $30, and they've got this thing called the slingshot, I think it is. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. All right, so what they do is they put you in a chair, they seatbelt you in with your friend, all right, and they put you like 6 or 8 feet into the ground, all right, with a hydraulic slingshot, all right, and then they shoot you like 25 stories into the air. With nothing but a seatbelt on, and the thing spins up in the air, and you're at zero gravity, and then it comes back down, and then you do it all over again. Now, look, I believe in my head that thing's not going to shoot people straight up into space, all right? It even looks like it's going to be a whole lot of fun, but I have not come to the point yet where I am ready to put my faith in that chair, right? I don't know, has anybody ever ridden one of those things? Yeah, all right, man. That is faith, all right? So we believe it in our heads, but we don't necessarily believe it, you know, like with our actions. Now, in the case of Jesus, the Son of God, all right, I hope that you can believe in him, that you know the facts, that he really did come from heaven to earth, that he was God in the flesh, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried in the tomb, and that he rose again after 3 days, and now he sits at the right hand of God after he has ascended to heaven, and he is alive today. Those are things we can believe in mentally. But that's not all faith means. What faith means is to be faithful to what we know about Jesus. Always faithful. Not just knowing, but being faithful to him and following him. I like to break it down this way. Again, I'll keep it, you know, kind of, hopefully this will make sense to you. So what I've done is we've got reason, we've got trust, we've got action. If you want faithfulness, it includes these three elements: reason, trust, plus action equals faithfulness. So we've got all kinds of reasons to believe in Jesus, all right? We've got all kinds of reasons. We study the evidence. We can get the, you know, historical stuff. We can figure out the science and all that kind of thing, and we can see the reasons that we believe. But faith is going to take trust if we're going to get there. It's going to take action. Let me show you an example. In the book of Mark, there's a man and his son. He's been possessed by an evil spirit, okay? Mark chapter 9, my son has been possessed by an evil spirit. Who can heal my son? Well, he brings him to the disciples. The disciples can't fix the situation. So the man brings his son to Jesus. Why? Because he believed. Believed. And he even says to Jesus, if you can do anything, please help my boy. And if you're a father or a mother, you know, and your son, your daughter, I mean, you've been in this situation, you do anything. You need to do anything. And this is what the father did. He brings his son to Jesus and says, if you can do anything, please help my boy. And in verse 23 and 24 of Mark chapter 9, you can read that this week, Jesus answers the man, if you can, I'm Jesus, you know, but it's kind of interesting because he's getting ready to do something. And then he says these words, everything is possible for someone who believes. Everything is possible for someone who has this kind of faith. And then the man says, immediately the boy's father explains, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I believe, right? I brought him here, like I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. The man had reason to believe in Jesus, but he wants something more. He wants something to help that faith. See, he's got reason to believe, but right now he's in the process of trusting. He's in the process of taking action so that he can build this faithfulness. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you understand what this is. He wants something to help his faith, to give him that confidence, that substance, that evidence, that assurance that Hebrews 11 talks about. And Jesus, well, does Jesus heal the boy? You're going to have to read Mark chapter 9 to find out what Jesus does, all right? But the point is, the man had reason for believing in Jesus. Jesus was real. He was actually healing people. Which is important to note, because faith without reason doesn't make any sense. Hope you know that. This man had reason. You know, sometimes you think, you know, just, you know, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. No, there's reason to believe in Jesus, all right? Now, like in the man here with his son in Mark's account, we can rent mentally, we can reason and decide that Jesus, that the good news, that the gospel is real. But simply believing that Jesus is real doesn't necessarily create transformation in our lives. So like that man in Mark chapter 9, there must also be trust and action to help us overcome our unbelief. I look at it this way. Let me show you this slide, maybe to kind of help us say what we have is that on one side of the equation, we've got the gospel, all right? We've got the gospel, God, supernatural, the Bible, all those kind of things that are just amazing and incredible, but unknown, unseen, you know? And over here on this other side, we've got reason. We've got reason to believe. I'm probably doing this backwards, Nate, sorry. But we got reason to believe. All these reasons to believe. We've got scientific evidence. We've got historical, archaeology, all these kind of things that mount up on the evidence, that give us reason to believe. Maybe you've been through something. You've seen something. You understand something that you didn't understand before, and it's given you all these reasons to believe in Jesus, just like that man in Mark chapter 9. I believe, but the gospel is tough because God is unreasonable. I mean, think about it. Can your mind imagine an all-powerful, eternal, omniscient, never created God? God is beyond our imagination. He's beyond our reason. He's beyond anything that we could conjure up in our mind. So he's like, the gospel of Jesus, it's mysterious as it is beautiful. The gospel. We got all these reasons. So how, and in the middle, we've got this thing called faith. Faith. Now for some of us, it's like, man, I can never make that leap. I got some reasons, but I'm not ready to go there yet. But what I've noticed, and maybe you've noticed it too, is the more information we get, the more action we take, the more trust we put in Christ, the smaller that gap gets, and the smaller that gap gets, and the smaller that gap gets. He gives us reason, 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 reason. And here we sit with faith, and it's not such a giant leap anymore. But guess what? That gap, it's always going to be there. That's why we call it faith. The gospel is true, and he's given us lots of reason to believe. And I think, and I have experienced, and I read in Scripture, and I see in this room, so many people that have, yes, I believe, I've got reason, and this thing called faith, this gap, has now become so real, this assurance, this substance, this evidence. All that Hebrews 11 talks about is something you can literally point to, you can literally talk about, you can literally feel it inside of you because of the Holy Spirit. You know that it's true, even though you don't really know. It's faith. And I think that if we really live the kind of biblical faith that Jesus teaches us to live, we're going to continue to collect those reasons. With our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we're going to continue to live in that gap with confidence and assurance. It's really an incredible, incredible thing. You see, there's always going to be that gap. But faith tells us, and that's what this means, that we can trust and we can act and we can do things that will help us overcome our unbelief. That's how faith works. Faithfulness means experiencing that confidence and that assurance and that hope for what we cannot see. And that's what Jesus means when he says in Mark 1:15, to believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. One of my favorite illustrations is with a chair. I don't know if I share this quite a bit, but maybe, but I just keep going back to it. It just happens to work for Joe. Maybe it'll work for you too, but the chair, all right? Now, I'm going to bet, now I'm not 100% sure that, because I didn't watch everybody when you walked in the room, but did anybody walk in the room today and just sit down in your chair without even thinking about it, all right? Now, you had faith in your chair. Now, I'm sure there's someone in the room that maybe, or maybe somebody watching at home that doesn't believe the chairs in this building are dependable, all right? So maybe you came in and you checked the screws and you checked the bolts and the nut and you shook it around a little bit, you know, and you just had to, anybody do that? No? All right, no. You came into the building and you sat in your chair. Why did you have faith in the chair? Well, because you had reason to have faith in the chair. Nobody's walking around in here trying to like sabotage or booby trap one of the chairs. And if you're the lucky one today, you're going to fall in the chair that, you know, breaks on the floor. All right. That's not happening. All right. You probably walked in and you said, hey, man, look at all these people sitting in these chairs. These chairs are faithful. I can sit in these chairs. Or maybe you sat in your chair last week and you sit in that same chair every week and you know that chair is faithful. So I got to thinking, man, this chair is an important part of my faith. You know why? Because I believe I can sit in that chair. I had to make sure between services nobody messed with the chair because that would be a bad illustration, all right? Not that any of our red shirts would do that, but man, I believe in this chair. Anybody else? All right? I believe this chair is going to hold my weight. I believe this chair is something I can sit in. So I'm going to walk around it. I'm going to look at it, think about it. I mean, I see you sitting in chairs. In fact, I saw somebody sitting in this chair earlier today. So I believe in my head, this chair can hold my weight. Now, do I have faith in that chair? Yes or no? You think I have faith in that chair? You know what it's going to take for me to have true biblical faith in this chair? Yeah, I got to go from reason plus trust. Okay? Plus what? Action. Then I'll have that kind of faith. So I trust in the chair. I trust in the chair. All right. Now I've got to take action and literally what? Nope, I'm not going to sit in that chair. I don't believe in the chair. Look, I know y'all believe in the chair, but I don't believe in the chair. All right, look, I'm going to have to just. Yes. Now I believe in the chair. Now I have that biblical faith in the chair. Now you might say, well, okay, so you got reason, you got the gospel, you know, and you got you know, the chair over here and the reason over there. But now, do you have faith anymore? Because now you know the chair will hold your faith. And I would say yes. Now I have faith in this chair. Like, now I know that faithfulness is real. I've got something tangible. I can pick this up. I can bring it with me anywhere I go. I know this chair is going to hold me, all right? I could bring it. I'd be stealing, but I could bring it home, all right? I can literally take it with me. I can invite you to come sit in this chair as well, all right? I say, hey, look, I got this great chair. Let me share it with you. Now, I know this is a crazy analogy. Maybe I'm stretching it out a little bit, all right? But this chair is Jesus. It's the gospel. And so many people, so many times, and I was one of these that walk around the chair, man, we see everybody else living, sitting, enjoying the chair, but I'm not, I believe it, you're good for you, but I'm not ready yet to have that faith in the chair. That's a trust issue, okay? Plus trust, plus action. And I just like to propose that once you sit in the chair, and you begin to experience real faith in Jesus, that trust itself becomes something you can hold on to and share with other people. That action that you take is an action that you'll go back to over and over and over again because you continue to trust and you continue to trust and you continue to trust, and your faith now gets stronger in the gospel. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. Even though we can't see it, that's what faith means. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Mark 1:15. Have that kind of faith in that chair. Now today, as we think about Jesus and we think about the gospel, you need to know that there is great reason to believe in Jesus, to believe in the gospel. And I know I can stand with many of you today and I can testify that, hey, all these reasons, they matter and they're true, all right? And as we trust and as we take action, I can stand here and I can tell you that Jesus Christ, absolutely, I believe with all my heart because I've sat in the chair, all right? And I understand all of this, okay? Maybe, even though I can't see, that Jesus Christ actually did come from heaven to earth, fully God and fully man, and lived a perfect life while he was here, healing and teaching and left behind words that we can continue to live and continue to heal Jesus. And that he not only lived a perfect life, but he died as a perfect sacrifice for your sins and mine. And he died on a cross, taking the punishment for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God and live forever. So we have faith in the death of Jesus, but he didn't stay dead. Jesus rose again after 3 days, and we have reason to believe that all of that is true, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, that after 3 days he rose from the grave, and he walked on the earth, and he appeared to other people. And just like Jesus rose from the grave, you and I can know that he gives new life to us, that we too can rise from the grave, and we can live for him. And that Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, where he reigns forever and ever and ever as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's going to come back one day. I believe that. We've got reason to believe that. And the more we put trust and the more we put action into what we believe, that faith, man, we know that's the good news. We know that's the gospel. And you know what? As we collect those reasons, we start thinking, oh yeah, but that's all in the Bible. Look, the Bible, we've got reason to believe that the Bible is the truly inspired, inerrant, holy word of God. We've got reason to believe that Jesus established his church on earth, God's people, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We've got reason to believe. We've got reason to believe that as we trust in Jesus, we will have eternal life in him in heaven forever and ever and ever. And until that time, he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, God himself, in a way that will not only transform and revolutionize our lives from the inside out, but the world around us as well as we live for Jesus. See, we believe that. We could have reason to believe that. And as we act and as we trust in him, we can continue to see that just grow into something that we live for and die for. Something that is eternal. The gospel of Jesus. And I got to tell you too, I mean, this is where it all comes together to understand. There's still going to be times, y'all, I'll be honest with you, and there's still times where I'm not sure. Anybody else? Like, I'll walk around the chair, like, Jesus, I know you said it, but I'm not sure what you're doing here. I've got some unbelief. My action is to start to pray and say, help me overcome my unbelief. Show me something. Bring me someone. I need this. And to say, hey, I'm going to actually take action. I'm actually going to trust and allow God to work inside of me and show me that he is faithful and worthy to be praised, even when I'm not faithful. That God will continue to be faithful in our lives, and he's still the God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the eternal one, even when I'm not living the way that I want to live or believing the way I think I should believe. Even when we don't know the whys of God, we can believe in God. Even when we don't know the what's going on right now, we can trust in the gospel and in the good news of Jesus that is eternal. Because one day, and this is the gospel, one day we will know. We will know what we don't know right now. One day we will see what is unseen. One day, the hope that we have, the hope that Hebrews 11 talks about, will become reality. Reality. Forever real with him in heaven, forever and ever and ever. And we are going to come face to face with a real, living, tangible God. And we're going to fall on our feet, and we are going to on our knees, and we're going to worship him face to face with a Savior that we never saw or never met in the flesh. But now we get to see him and spend eternity with him in heaven. Because of what he did for us on the cross. forever. Our faith is in Jesus. That's what faith is, and that's what faith means. Now look, if you don't believe today, I get it. Man, I understand. I've been there. Maybe some of you are there today. And I just want to challenge you to start looking at the reasons and to start creeping into trust and taking action and see if God just doesn't build your faith. Read the Bible. Study the evidence. See what's out there and discover the reason that really smart people do believe in the gospel of Jesus. It's true. And I want to add, this isn't blind faith. All right, this isn't like saying, well, just like I said earlier, you know, just God says it, that settles it, I believe it. That kind of faith is unbiblical and it's nonsensical and it's got an expiration date. All right, ask any 20-something-year-old, you know, how that works for them once they get into college and start hearing some things. All right, look, real faith, to believe in Jesus, you want to believe in Jesus. Know what you believe and know why. Reason. But don't just stay there. Begin to take action. Begin to trust and ask God to overcome, wherever you are today, to overcome your unbelief, because that's what faith does. Faith is an action word. We know what it is and we know what it means, but you got to know what it does when we have faith. Faith requires action. And that goes for all of us here today. See, just believing, just raising your hand, saying a prayer, saying, yes, I believe, agreeing that Jesus Christ is Lord, falls short of biblical faith. Biblical faith takes literal action. And maybe one day you did, a long time ago, maybe just you said, I believe in Jesus, and I want to, but you've walked away from him. I want to encourage you to take action. Semper Fi, always faithful. That's the promise you made to Jesus. Hey, why don't you re-up that commitment and walk back to Jesus? That's the action. He's there and he's faithful and he'll take you back. If you don't believe today, maybe you're trying to, man, take action. That's how you build and grow your faith. Semper Fi. You see, biblical faith always begins with reason and results in action. Begins with reason, but results in action. Let me give you three quick examples of what faith does, all right? Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. Jesus has ascended to heaven. We see the Apostle Peter. He's preaching to the masses in Jerusalem, all right? The Apostle Peter, by the way, one of the mentors of Mark, who wrote the book. He's preaching the good news of Jesus. Thousands of people in Jerusalem. Some of these people now have seen and have heard and have experienced Jesus face to face. They saw him die and they saw him risen from the grave, all right? That's who's in Peter's audience. See, they have reason to believe. And now Peter's standing up and he's preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. He's adding to these reasons and saying you need to trust, you need to understand and take action. So here's what happens. They start to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah. And when they heard this, when they heard the gospel, look what it says, verse 37, 38, they were cut to the heart. They believed. They had faith in the good news. And they said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, what shall you do? And Peter replies, repent. Again, turn your life around. New allegiance, new king, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Faith that began with reason resulted in action, and 3,000 people were baptized that day. And the church was born and the world was changed. When faith, trust, and action came together that very day. So if you believe today, you're thinking about it, you're walking around the chair, what shall you do? What shall you do? What you do is you do what God said to do. You repent and you get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You sit in the chair. That's what you need to do. And that's what faith does. Second example, the Apostle Paul, he writes in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, which, by the way, is four chapters after Romans 6. He's already covered baptism, and he's already covered repentance. So in chapter 10, verse 9 through 14, Paul talks about, again, Paul is one of Mark's mentors too. He writes about what faith does. And look what he says in Romans 10, 8 and 9. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, this is the gospel, all right? If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe, you have faith in your heart, all right? See, it's going from head to heart now. It's turning into this trust, okay? If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the gospel, if you believe this, you will be saved. Put your faith in it, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you, what? Profess your faith and are saved. This is what faith does. We believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he rose from the dead. That's what faith does. That's what we're called to do. God says to believe in Jesus. You want to know what faith does? Believe. You put your faith in him. You know what faith does? Faith repents to Jesus. Faith confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Faith baptized in Jesus. Get baptized in Christ and live for Jesus. That's what faith does. So if you've never trusted in Christ, that's what you need to do in order to make the good news your good news. That's what faith does. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus today, here's a gentle reminder, okay, from James, the brother of Jesus. James chapter 2, all right, look what he says when it comes to faith. James says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Remember, faith is an action word. Can such faith save them? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no, okay? Can such faith save them? And here's how I know this. Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by what? Action is dead. Okay, so maybe that's not such a gentle reminder after all. All right, look, faith without deeds is dead. Faith in Jesus is not just words or not just coming to church. It's not just a belief system. It's not just a thing you did one day when you professed Jesus and got baptized. No, faith is alive, and it's alive by the things that we do. We repented, we confessed, we got baptized, but we continue to live. See, if your faith isn't doing, then your faith isn't living. And if your faith isn't living, then it's probably not biblical faith. James goes on to say that faith and deeds are inseparable, that even the demons believe in God, but they don't do what biblical faith in God calls them to do. Instead, they shudder. So if you're called to faith in Jesus, you are called to action for Jesus. If you are called to faith in Jesus, then you are called to action for Jesus. Semper fidelis. Always faithful. Period. And that faith can begin right now. Right now. That's why Jesus said, Mark chapter 1:15, the time has come. Now, it's here. The kingdom of God has come. It's at hand. It's near. Repent and believe the good news. Right now. Right now you can take action and experience saving faith. If that's something you've never done before, your faith can save you because of what Jesus did for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, this is a great passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want you to know this passage reminds us that God, by his grace, is offering you a gift, and that gift is salvation. Now, if I know anything about gifts, I know that I can offer you a gift all day long, but you've, in order to have the gift, what do you need to do? Accept, right, you need to accept it. You need to receive it. You need to take action, all right, and trust that my gift isn't, you know, it's a gift, and that's what God offers us. We don't deserve the gift. We can't earn that gift, but salvation can be yours. And Ephesians 2 says it can become ours through faith right now. Colossians chapter 2, Again, the Apostle Paul reminds us that by being buried in Christ in baptism, that we can be raised with Christ through faith. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, reason plus trust plus action equals salvation. Saved through faith. You can make that decision today, right now. And if you're already a follower of Christ, then your action is to build your faith. To build your faith right now, today. Hopefully that's why you're in church. Hopefully that's why you're watching. Hopefully that's why you are in a small group. You have people around you to help you build what you already know and already believe, because those times come when you are facing unbelief and you say, help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus literally says you can do that. Look what he says to the apostle, through the apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Build your faith. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to your faith. Build on what you believe. Add to your faith goodness. 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 Add to your faith knowledge. And to knowledge, reasons. To knowledge, self-control. Self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. Always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. Perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Add to your faith being like Jesus, serving like Jesus, loving like Jesus. Add to your faith mutual affection for each other. The world will know we are Christians by our love. Add to your faith mutual affection and love, like real love, agape love, that lays down his life for his friends. Peter goes on, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you build your faith increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like Semper Fidelis to me. That we would be willing to put on the uniform of faithfulness, to put on Christ and live as his people, always faithful to what we know to be true, to trust, to take action, and to live out our faith on a daily basis as the people of God. And I hope we'll do that today. I hope that we'll leave this place today knowing that we can love with hearts of faith, that we can pray and ask God to help us overcome our unbelief with mouths of faith, that we can, you know, literally read the Bible through eyes of faith and serve the world around us with hands and feet of faith, and that we can join together as the people of God, people of faith. In your bulletins today and online this week, we're going to be just giving you all kinds of ways you can build your faith. Maybe it's by joining a small group. It's getting into the Core 52 stuff and learning and growing and actually taking the challenges and learning the memory verses. Build your faith. Last week, I gave you a challenge to only post good news. Y'all did a remarkable job on that, by the way. It was pretty cool. I mean, I got a lot of encouragement this week. Good news all week long, maybe as you went into your families and work and stuff like that. I would like you to add to your faith, okay, one more thing this week. Continue to tell the good news. Continue to say good news, all right, everywhere you go. But if you would just add to your faith this one thing this week, share your faith. Share your faith. Say the simple words, maybe with your good news. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Because what that means to you is I am always faithful to Jesus. And you might get some questions and you might get some response. And as you just say those words, I believe in Jesus, I'm faithful to Jesus, follow it up with the way that you act, the things that you do, and just watch and see what doors open for you. It'll build your faith. As we stand, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand with me. We're going to sing this great song and just kind of let it resonate with our faith and what we are. But I just want you to know, as we begin to pray and as we bow our heads and we talk to the Lord, that none of this is about us. None of this, man. This is about Jesus. In fact, Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus himself, if we fix our eyes on him, because the world's going to throw all kinds of mountains in our way this week. The world's going to throw all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of questions and doubts and resistance in our way this week. But if we will fix our eyes on Jesus, we will know that he is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. It's all about him. So Lord, we thank you. You are holy. We love you. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift that you offer us of salvation. That if we believe in you, and I don't mean believe just mentally, God, we know that after today, God, we mean we are going to be always faithful to you. We're going to put our lives on the line. God, we are going to do what it takes. We're going to trust you. We're going to take action. We're going to sit in the chair. We are going to live with you and walk with you. And God, we know that as we do that, you are going to continue to build our faith and grow our faith and build our faith. God, thank you. Thank you for doing that. God, we know through the power of your Spirit and the life of your Son that we can trust you 100%, even when we don't see, understand, or know. So God, thank you. We praise you for Jesus. And God, as we sing this song, we know that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Use us this week, God, as we walk with him. We give you thanks in his name. Amen.